Acts 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. And suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. And when they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They've had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd, "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." And as Peter continued speaking, he came to the point of saying, "Exalted to the right hand of God, he, Jesus, has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear." It's just lovely just reading afresh that whole account of how the Spirit came and God poured out his Spirit there. There are many words that are used to describe the way that Holy Spirit is seen and heard. You may kind of think about some of them. Think of him as a dove. Remember how John the Baptist saw Holy Spirit come down as a dove. We think of him as being wind and fire or cloud, rain, dew, water, oil, and wine. All kinds of words are used and descriptions of Holy Spirit. The point is, he is not abstract. He's not a concept. He has an impact. Whenever he comes, whenever he ministers, he has an impact on us and on the world around us. And as the Holy Spirit was released in a fresh way at Pentecost, one of the things that we're told is that we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. This wasn't the gift of tongues as often we think of it, but this was the specific gift of languages that was actually released on that day. The gift of tongues is great and one that's lovely for each and every one to have as a way of God edifying us, of giving his understanding, perspective, and so on. But that wasn't what was going on here. It wasn't the gift of tongues, but it was a gift of languages. And there are still accounts of that happening. I guess a number of you have read Surprise Sotoda's book, their Voice in the Night. Let me just read a couple of extracts from that book, which kind of illustrates what was going on there on the day of Pentecost. He says this, "I can't tell you the exact moment it happened, but as I continued, I was suddenly aware that I was no longer speaking in my own language. Gaffer's eyes grew wide as if he thought I'd lost my mind and was spouting gibberish. I think we both realized at the same instant that I was speaking in the local Chichewa dialect. It was as if someone had thrown a switch and everyone was immediately able to understand me. From that day forward, I've been able to speak the Chichewa language fluently. In fact, the very first Bible I ever owned was in the Chichewa language. This is the first of many occasions when God supernaturally enabled me to speak a language I'd never learned. And on another occasion, he says this, and at the end of our time together, he said, "You speak English very well. Where did you learn it?" I did not know what to say. All this time, I thought we were speaking Portuguese. All I could do was laugh. God had given me the language when I needed it. What an amazing God. He supplies all our needs. It's lovely, isn't it? This is what was happening. And this gift of languages was given on the day of Pentecost for those people. But let's not lose the sight of what it was for. The Holy Spirit was stirring them to declare the wonders of God to the people that were there around in a language that they could understand. I mean, it would have been impressive enough if they'd simply just been able to hear them speaking in all their different languages that the men had never learned. But that wasn't the point. The whole point on that day of enabling them to declare and speak in languages they hadn't learned, just as it was with Sir Price Itoli in what I'd read out of the book there, was in order to enable the people from all over the known world to hear the good news of Jesus for themselves and all that he had done, and to hear it in a language that they understood. Now, I don't want to downplay what took place supernaturally then and still takes place supernaturally even today, but I believe we need God to give us language that people can understand. If you understand what I'm saying by that we need to be able to be given language that would enable the people around us to hear the wonders of God, that is free from our Christian jargon and expressions. We use words in ways that people around us don't use them. We use words that they wouldn't even understand, really. It's sometimes it's our shorthand words and it's our comfort words, but people around us just don't speak like that. And we just need to be able to, God, give us the language that will really connect with those around us, that they may be able to hear the wonders of our gods. And as Peter was explaining to the crowd what was going on, he tells them how God has said, "I will pour out my spirit on all people." And in that he explained it was for the young and it was for the old, it was for men and women, it was for every race, every people group. There was no racial barriers, no class barriers. Lack of language wouldn't prevent them receiving. The outpouring of Holy Spirit is for all people. It was then, it is now. And let's just remind ourselves, we are part of the all people, each and every one of us. And also, it is not limited to a one-time event, although there are those significant moments. You may have heard, "Oh gosh, now I'm coming out of some Christianese, I'm one baptism, many fillings." You know, you may have heard something along those lines. In other words, we are to go on being filled with Holy Spirit. It's an ongoing experience. If we are to continue to display and declare and demonstrate the wonders of God, we need that ongoing filling of his precious Spirit. And so Peter says to them, he says, "I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below." You know, we are seeing so many natural wonders in space. I don't know whether you're kind of interested in any of that stuff, but fairly recently the James Webb Space Telescope has been launched and it's set up, and it's already showing some incredible pictures coming back that have a clarity way beyond what the Hubble Space Telescope had been able to produce. I mean, that would have been amazing. And they're still, I mean, people who like numbers and doing these things, they're crunching all the data that's been coming out of the Hubble Space Telescope for years. And they've got pictures, loads of data they've been working through, analysing it all, trying to make sense of it all. And the one thing that I was just reading about recently that they have discovered is that the universe is actually expanding at a faster rate than can be explained by physics. It's just not behaving in a way that and the conclusion that they've come to is it's more complicated than we thought. And they say there is something weird going on in all of this. And I'm sure that as the James Webb telescope gets more embedded and sends more of this more sort of precise data back, there's more that's going to happen. What's going on? It's all pointing to the greatness of our God. All of it. The more we discover, whether it's in space or whether we go into the micro world of microorganisms and particles, we just see the wonders of our gods. We're seeing signs here on Earth as well. We're seeing an increase in extreme events taking place around our world. We're seeing an increase in global insecurity all around us that is just... If you watch and listen to news too much, and don't encourage too much of that, but you know it's there everywhere, isn't it? All the time, and all of these things are designed to cause us to look up, to refocus again on the greatness of our gods. And then comes the greatest the promise of all: everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And that doesn't simply mean that it's people that acknowledge there is a God. It can be a good starting point, but it's not the end result. It's not that I need to try and live my life in a better kind of way. I need to follow some different rules and regulations. It's none of those things. But it's also about a total transformation that takes place in our lives. That is what Peter went on to say as he carried on talking to the crowds on that day. He said to them, repent. Again, not a word that is used very much. What it means is a total turnaround in your life. It's not simply something that is intellectual. It's not something that is just an idea, a thought. It affects every single part of our lives. There's a turnaround in our lives. Repent and be baptized. And remember again, to be baptized is to be saturated, is to be immersed, is to be totally filled with whatever. It said, I want you to be totally saturated, every one of you. That is, it's not simply that baptism is an optional extra for those who are that way inclined. It's saying, I want every single one of you to be totally and utterly saturated, filled, overwhelmed with Jesus, because that is what he says. I want you to be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. It is a key who we're baptized into. We're baptized into him. We're saturated with him. We're filled with him. We're overwhelmed by him. For the forgiveness of your sins. Forgiveness is the greatest need that any one of us has. In fact, it's as we receive that forgiveness that life flows. And we know that is true also and as an ongoing thing. Unforgiveness can have some devastating effects on us. Sometimes it is what holds back healing. Sometimes it is the thing that gets in the way of relationship. There's all sorts that we need to come and receive and release that forgiveness and know that forgiveness. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you, each one of you, and your children. I know many of you are still praying over your children and speaking and believing for your children. Keep going. The promise is for your children. If you don't have your own children, well, just adopt some to speak it over. And that for your children, your nephews, your nieces, your neighbor's children. I know, just pick some and just declare the promise over them. And for all who are far off. I love that one too. We can actually be, consciously or unconsciously, very limiting. We can look at people thinking, oh, that person, I think they might be interested. We look at someone else and thinking, no way would they ever want to know anything. But God doesn't look that way. In fact, he's saying, do you know what? Those that look far off, actually, they might be the closest. The promise is for them. The promise is for each one. We need to stop just making our assumptions about people. God's promise, his heart, is for all people, and particularly, I think, those who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. And we know that he nudges us, he calls us. And there is such a requirement that we respond in the moment when he calls. Sometimes you the sadness you feel at times, there's some people, you kind of know that God is all over them and he's stirring them, nudging them, and you just see them there, and then they kind of back off again. I mean, God is gracious sometimes, and he comes calling again, doesn't he? And they're calling again. But the moment we can't decide when we're going to respond, we respond when he nudges us. And the sadness is when we put it off for another time. And with many other words, gosh, I wonder what those many other words were. Many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them. Hear the language of it, the real desperation he had that they would respond to this good news. Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. And you don't need me to tell you how corrupt the world is around us. It's blatant, it's in your face now, it's not hidden, it's just everywhere. He said, save yourself from this corrupt generation. And those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that way. How precious was that? It's been said that the normal Christian life should include all those elements, that there needs to be repentance and forgiveness, baptism in water, baptism in Holy Spirit, and being added to the body, that all of those things are kind of normal parts of what happens to us when we receive this good news. You know, the Holy Spirit has been poured out with purpose, and I sometimes wonder whether that purpose gets lost, because we can get caught up with all the feelings, the manifestations, the gifts and the wonder. I mean, all beautiful, wonderful things. But the overriding purpose is that God is glorified. That Jesus gets the reward of his suffering. That lives are transformed, not just for a moment, but for all eternity. And it is all moving towards the day that Habakkuk describes there in Habakkuk 2, when the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. That is where it is heading. We're not going to end up with just a handful of people desperately hanging on. The glory of God is going to be seen. The Spirit of God is at work and will continue to be at work, releasing and declaring and lifting Jesus higher. Now, I know we're here kind of thinking about Pentecost. We don't have to wait for Pentecost. The Holy Spirit has already been poured out. And as we said, you know, this year it's kind of got all caught up with the Queen's Platinum Jubilee celebration, which is why we're having it now. But you know, as I was thinking about it, God will often use anniversaries and key dates for releasing something fresh. You know, Pentecost itself came 50 days after Passover. It was the time when they celebrated the end of the wheat harvest. It was also thought to be a time of celebrating when the law had been given to Moses at Sinai. And I think there's something in that, because we're just given that bit of information that 3,000 were added. 3,000 were saved on the day of Pentecost. When the law was given, do you remember what happened? 3,000 died because they instead of responding to what God was saying, they created themselves the golden calf, and they worshipped that, and 3,000 died. And so I think there's something about this signaling, the change that had taken place. There'd been a change from rules to relationship, which is what it is all about now, is it? It's a relationship. It's not about following rules. It is about relationship. I don't mean by that that we live a chaotic, anything goes kind of life. But relationship will govern the way we live in a way that rules never will. It's taken us from powerless religion into the powerful presence of God. I mean, Passover was a time the Israelites entered into the promised land. It was where the recommitment to God took place, the fresh circumcision took place, after which the manna that they'd been used to for the past 40 years stopped. A new season had begun. Sometimes, you know, when we come to these moments, it is the beginning of a new season that God is opening up for us. I love the way that God has divided up time into segments of time, periods of time. And so you can go from your seconds to your minutes, your hours, days, weeks, months, years. You know, I love it. He's a God with countless new beginnings. He knows that we need fresh starts. He knows that we need those new beginnings. And so God has almost set in place feasts, seasons, moments that we can both celebrate what has happened in the past, but we can look forward to what God is going to do again in this new season. That we come to a fresh outpouring, that we come to this fresh ingathering. That we might come to a time, can you think about it? We might come to a time when salvation, when people will come to know Jesus, that people will come with transformation taking place in their lives through the work of the precious Spirit. Lives will be transformed across the length and breadth of this nation and the length and breadth of this world. That it would come and touch the generations, young and old, all people. That across this land in particular, as we're part of this, that it would bring us back to our redemptive purpose that I believe God has for us, that we would be a light for the gospel to the nations. And it's all possible because of what has taken place with the outpouring of God's precious Spirit. So, Father God, we just thank you that we can come today to be reminded of what happened all that time ago, but just to know that there's that fresh outpouring, day by day, moment by moment. We thank you that this was for all people, for all time. We thank you, Lord God, that you have a plan and a purpose for each one of us. I pray that you would open our eyes and our ears and our hearts afresh to receive the wonders of your glorious outpouring of heaven, that your precious Spirit would once again be poured out over us and through us, would touch those in the world around us with this good news in a world that is awash with bad news. Lord, that your glorious good news would be proclaimed to people in language that they can understand. And Lord, I pray that you'll give us a fresh boldness to declare and to share the good news that is Jesus. Lord, give us the language to use where language is needed. Give us the actions to take where you want us to demonstrate the goodness of you. And we can't do any of this in our own strength. We need that constant, fresh, moment by moment filling of your precious Spirit to do that. And Lord, our greatest desire that you will be seen and heard. And as you are lifted high, you have said that you will draw all people to you. So we cry out again that you would come afresh by your precious Spirit. Touch us afresh, fill us afresh, and Lord, across this land, come and fill this land afresh with your presence, that we might see your glory afresh. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.